Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bunty, greetings. Welcome from San Francisco. Greetings to our listeners as well. Sorry for the long delay. We had some travel, but we have a couple of episodes now. We've got some more travel coming up, and then, you know, we'll be back to a more regular schedule. What's up with your end, man?
Yeah, good to reconnect again, Rohit. Again, apologies to our listeners because, you know, there's been a gap. As Rohit was saying, we've done a set of UK-based episodes, which we're still trying to polish up. We're looking forward to doing something together in Geneva. So that's really good. No, everything's well, Rohit. London's absolutely boiling. It's very hot and very uncomfortable and muggy, a weather that nobody's used to here. That's the news in London.
It's the exact opposite here. I mean, I'm not going to go on and on about that. I think we both live in cities where, like, people talk a lot and obsess a lot about the weather. San Francisco, summers are dreary. Mark Twain said that the coldest winter I ever experienced was a summer in San Francisco. But, you know, it's been foggy, cold. So when the sun comes out here, it's the exact opposite. But, you know, the other thing that's been going on that links India and England, of course, is this test series. And there's been a bit of history, this cricket series. There's been a bit of history to it because the last time Kohli was, you know, was in England, he performed very poorly. He got his own back at Anderson when Anderson was in India. Anderson made some negative remarks, but I thought Kohli's, you know, batting was superb. It was scrappy innings. I'm surprised, you know, I think that just when I think that I don't watch cricket with the kind of fervor I used to as a child, I'm surprised at how much the loss, like a loss like this hurts. But today I thought we could talk about, you know, something that is persistently annoying about any match that India plays in, which is the quality of commentating by Indians or South Asians generally.
This is a good topic, Rohit. Again, I'm sad about the outcome, but I really like the process, the test match. It was a great advertisement for good test match cricket, which was really good. And obviously, Kohli played a brilliant innings, and Sam Curran on the England team played very well, a very gutsy 50 runs. He's a very young man. But yeah, let's cut to commentary. I've noticed Harbhajan Singh has cropped up on the Sky television commentary team. Did you get Harbhajan Singh at your end?
I think it was Harbhajan. I watch it on something called Willow TV, which is a cricket channel.
Right.
There was a guy who was commentating with Boycott. He sounded like him, you know, vaguely like Ramiz Raja, but Ramiz Raja is more articulate than him. But the commentary was, you know, slow, sort of soporific, and I don't know, it sort of made me just want to, like, you know, bash my head against a wall.
Harbhajan had a very good commentating style, and I use the word good in this loser sense. What he would do was, he was asked, like, so Harbhajan, do you feel it's India is going to win? And he said, yeah, the way Kohli is batting, I am completely confident that we are going to win.
Hmm.
And then when Kohli's wicket fell, so Harbhajan, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm not confident at all now. I think we will lose. So he had this kind of a binary, matter-of-fact way, which is, you know, very endearing. But, you know, it doesn't take an expert to call those things out. So I just think it's very perplexing what makes a good commentator and what doesn't. What have you followed any commentator closely over the last few years?
Against my will, I have, I will say, right? You don't have a choice. So in the American, like, context, when the football World Cup was going on, I was watching it on Telemundo. I don't follow Spanish, but you know that these guys are in the know. I mean, the American commentating was, like, awful. Now, I have childhood memories of Narottam Puri. You know, Narottam Puri was, he was a doctor. I actually have a friend whose tonsils were removed by Narottam Puri, which is just bizarre. But Narottam Puri also used to do some weird quiz show on Doordarshan. But everything was a glorious uncertainty. And I think someone had written a very irritated letter in the Telegraph in Calcutta many years ago saying that, yeah, tell this Narottam Puri that everything in cricket can't be described as a glorious uncertainty. Then, you know, Shastri bored us for years or entertained us because Shastri's point was, like, his comments were like, you know, both teams will be trying to win today. Then his, you know, cliche is about faster than a tracer bullet. Then, you know, Navjot Sidhu's rubbish, wickets are like wives, you never know which way they will turn. So there's been a bunch of these guys, and they may have been accomplished cricketers or not. But, you know, they've kind of like clowned about. Manjrekar also, you know, I felt sorry for Manjrekar actually reading his an excerpt from his autobiography, because he had a very brutal, abusive father, you know, Vijay Manjrekar. But his commentating is again, you know, very sort of frustrating. So that's my experience.
It would be fair to say Manjrekar's commentating is better than his cricket. I think that would be a fair comment, because I think if you start judging people as to Shastri's cricket was better than his commentating.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
So then you think, who else? Which other player from the Indian context who is commentating? Obviously, there's Harsha Bhogle. We can revisit his style in a moment. Sunil Gavaskar, because he was one of the few cricketers in the 70s and 80s who could string together an English sentence together, made a lot of money just by showing up. I mean, he's a great cricketer, and I'm not going to kind of challenge a talisman. But I don't remain convinced about his ability to commentate. And maybe there is not a direct correspondence between playing and commentating. Ganguly also sporadically jumps up providing commentary. I don't know whether Tendulkar has tried his hand at it. Dravid comes on as special guest sometimes. And the one guy who we thought I wanted to pick up on was Harsha Bhogle, who wasn't a cricketer. He's like Marmite. You know, some people adore him. And some people think he's completely not the right sort of a person to be doing cricket commentary. And I fall in the latter camp, because, you know, he's like one of those engineering management types who want desperately to kind of run with a sense of humor, but falters. He may be very knowledgeable about the game, but somehow he doesn't make an easy commentating companion with other people. That's my take on Harsha Bhogle. And I haven't seen him on television lately. Probably he's been spanked out of some kind of contract. He's fallen out of favor or something. Because he hasn't featured in any recent commentary that I've listened to.
Okay, so it's a bit of back and forth with him. Excuse me. So what happened is, at some point of time, I think, you know, Amitabh Bachchan, of all people, made some like absurd remark saying that our commentators should be more nationalistic. Maybe Virat Kohli had also made some remarks saying that, you know, commentators should support us or something. Because Harsha Bhogle, I think, was rightly pointing out to, you know, some aspect of poor performance, something to that effect. And then, because of the cloud that Kohli wields, I assume, and the general sort of fervor of nationalism in the country, which is, you know, we know, taken like a number of very like ugly turns and forms, he was dropped for a while. And then he came back again. And now, again, for this particular series, he's not contracted. I don't know how it works with their, you know, agents, their talent management representatives, what kind of negotiations and deals they work out with, you know, whatever sort of board or structure is organizing these matches. Harsha Bhogle, my, you know, sort of concern or my hesitation about him is, I think he just talks too much. And, you know, lots of irrelevant stuff. Like, I remember once, many years ago, there was some match that was scheduled to be played at in Ahmedabad, Motera. Now, the pitch was horrible. The temperature was 48 degrees C. And, you know, you could just see sort of heat rising all around. So, they had to wait for a couple of hours. So, Harsha Bhogle was making these bizarre remarks about, you know, oh, look at it. The ground, you know, the pitch is telling the grass, I'm so hot. You know, and that I'm so hot that the ball will feel scared to land on me or something. And
my this is jumping in, Rohit. This is the problem with people like Harsha Bhogle, is their template for good commentary is Blofeld, right? Henry Blofeld. And what Henry Blofeld does, he's a slightly elderly, eccentric English commentator who features on BBC, and he points out things like passing buses, pigeons, women's earrings, all that. He can pull it off because he does it in a particular way. The problem is when somebody else... So, copying is the best form of flattery. So, and given that Blofeld is not a cricketer, Harsha probably was trying to ape that style. Now, as we keep discussing commentary, and, you know, today Harbhajan Singh was very funny for me, we also need to acknowledge it's a very difficult job to do. We tried to make a go of it at one football match, I think, on the World Cup, and we realized that, you know, it's very difficult to kind of provide authoritative commentary on a sporting event. So again, respect to all the people who do it. All we are trying to say is different people have different styles. And I don't have a natural like for Harsha Bhogle, but I do think, you know, with the greatest respect to commentators world over, Holding's commentary is very good. Do you get Michael Holding on your feed?
Sometimes, yeah.
He's a good commentator, boss. You know, his commentary is really good. Jeffrey Boycott, again, you know, he gets away with a lot of things because of his accent.
Hmm.
Because he says things funny, or he says something very provincial and people make a big deal out of it. Obviously, when you're sat in Sri Lanka and talking about marmalade, you know, it'll get a particular level of cut through.
But I want to say something about Boycott here. The thing I like about Boycott is that he's himself, okay? I like it, when he saw Afridi, he said that, and remember that when Shahid Afridi started playing, there was this talk that Afridi is 18. So Boycott just said, if he's 18, I am 21. And he said, look at him, he looks like he's been shaving for 5 years. And, you know, Boycott was, okay, he was a bore to watch. And his point also was that, you know, I would not have given my wicket away. I would have been selfish. I would not have run. Why should I give my wicket away once I'm, you know, settled in? So whatever he says, he's this curmudgeonly, stereotypical Yorkshire man, right?
Yeah. Just so you know, Yorkshire also, because it's in the north and it's got a significant amount of Pakistani population around it. So with the Yorkshire man, the whole idea of frankness also has a light touch racism hiding under it, right? So you have to be careful where it slips from provincial banter to outright racism. Is a careful thing to dodge in Yorkshire. And Jeffrey Boycott, I think one guy, there was this English cricketer, I forget his name, he was Flintoff's partner, Steve Harmison.
Hmm.
He said, I have no time for that old fool, he's just an accent.
Hmm.
And that stuck with me. But I completely take your point that Yorkshire, Jeffrey Boycott and Yorkshire, people from Yorkshire in general, have a thing about calling a spade a spade. But that can be said about so many people in the deep south of America at the moment as well.
Right. And absolutely. And I get your point. It's a very, very valid point that, you know, candor, this performance of candor can mask racism. You know, speaking of cricket, I mean, and this is like a final thought I'll share. Like, I'm just writing up this book right now on the internet and Hindu nationalism and so on. And I was remembering the time I worked at Rediff, and my colleague, former colleague there, who pioneered, you know, cricket chat in India and cricket on the internet, Prem Panikkar. And, you know, right. There used to be a small television, and Prem used to be typing while he was watching this match. And the commentary was, you know, superb. I mean, flawless.
Right.
You know, and I mean, you know, Prem is just a sort of staggering intellect and with this amazing wide range of reference on any number of things. And he's, you know, he was managing director Yahoo India, I think, and now he's busy with some other projects.
Right.
But I would love to see him, you know, to hear him commentate, because his knowledge of the game is sort of fabulous, and he understands, you know, media. I mean, he understands it intuitively, deeply. He knows how just to pace it, like his commentary, his writing, and it would get like a massive fan following globally. Lots of expatriate Indians. You know, I remember following it. It was just paced like a perfect innings. So, you know, I don't know if it's on his to-do list. I don't think he has any ambitions to that effect. But, you know, he's someone I would just like love to see in the commentating booth. But, you know, it's a business, and you have to promote yourself, and it's a complicated game. And I don't think, my sense is that Prem is, he's not, you know, he's a guy who doesn't like, he just does his own thing, man. So he's not going to play that game.
Okay, so what would be a dream? Like, I think Navjot Singh Sidhu, right? He is like the masaladar commentator. You know, so Sidhu's commentary is of the school of thought where he assumes that everybody's got the attention span of a, you know, fly, right? So every time he opens his mouth, he has to say something provocative and either sexual innuendo or some kind of wife-beating innuendo, he'll kind of slip in. So he's got good tamasha value. But I'm just trying to think who in the kind of Indian firmament of sports commentators, right? South Asia is too broad. Who would you think, you know, so you've kind of laid out for Prem Panikkar the fact that, you know, he's a good commentator, but he's clearly not made out for the cut and thrust of commercial commentary.
In the sense that, yeah, I mean, I think you have to, you know, you have to canvas, you have to like cultivate these people at the different boards, Right, you have to basically be a bit of a like player, and you know, I think Prem just can't be bothered to be that. I mean, it's, he's just himself. You know, he's an outspoken, forthright guy. So, but you know, if he were there, he'd do a fantastic job. I mean, it would be a pleasure hearing him because, you know, I still remember pieces he wrote about, for instance, you know, Dravid's batting and about Tendulkar. Like, just they've stayed with me because the writing was so powerful. Aside from that, I don't know. Like, Imran Khan, I have vague memories of. He was an awful commentator. He would keep saying that. He would just keep saying that, you know, Pakistan need to consolidate. Pakistan need to consolidate. That was his one line.
Ramiz Raja also is not a good commentator because, you know, he's probably one of the few people who can speak. Again, it's this odd combination. You know, you have to play the game, you have to have an expertise, and you have to express yourself. That's the heady combination you're looking for. And I think, you know, in spite of what I said earlier on, from our neck of the woods, I think Sunil Gavaskar probably does the best job of it, given what is available.
Yeah.
The other guy, today there was a Sri Lankan, I think, it was not, sorry, the name escapes me, but a very recent Sri Lankan cricketer. Who's just retired. I don't think it was the same. Anyway, the name escapes me. He gave a very good account of himself on the commentary box. As I said, Michael Holding, I have great respect for.
Right.
And it depends the kind of commentary you're going for. Are you looking for... Michael Holding doesn't crack jokes, right? He's not in the business of entertainment, right? Navjot Sidhu is of the school of thought that, you know, mujhe kuch bolna hai, log ko hasana hai, public ko maza dena hai. Holding's of a different variety. So I've got great respect for Holding, but Gavaskar for me is the best of the lot that's available. And I do hope Harbhajan picks his act up because this is the first outing that I saw him on Sky.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm just going to end with an anecdote about Harbhajan. It's a little like, I wouldn't say, I mean, it's just a fact that there was a match where Harbhajan was, he could not play. And the reason he could not play is that because I remember reading this maybe in Outlook or something, he had contracted a fungal infection in the groin area. And why did he contract a fungal infection in the groin area? Because he wore someone else's jock strap. So, you know, I mean, like, I would worry about a guy like this being on the field because you have cricket talent. But if you don't have, like, this level of common sense, you probably won't provide insights, but you'll provide entertainment. I mean, that's all I can say.
Chalo, look, let's wrap up on that note, Rohit, and let's reconvene for another episode soon. Chalo,
okay,
take care.
Yeah, take care, man. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.